Hello, and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life in San Francisco and beyond. I'm Marilyn Pittman. In 1978, at the San Francisco Gay and Lesbian Freedom Day Parade, as it was called then, a large flag with the colors of the rainbow debuted. It is now known as the Rainbow Flag. My guest designed and created it. Gilbert Baker, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Really excited to talk with you.
Likewise.
The guy who made the rainbow flag?
Yep, the scene master, the gay Betsy Ross.
The fag flag? It's 1978, San Francisco. You live in San Francisco. You've just gotten out of the Army a few years before that. You're friends with Harvey Milk, and you've started to sew. Thus the flag. What attracted you to sewing?
Well, I'm a big drag queen. And I couldn't afford the clothes I liked, so I had to learn how to sew. So I think I got out of the Army and spent some of my severance pay on a little Kenmore. And a friend of mine, you know, sat me down and gave me some basics. And, you know, I haven't stopped for a long time. But, yeah, I love to sew, and I love beautiful clothes. I love the craft that goes into making things with fabric. And it just was a natural thing for me. And so as I, you know, you start. You're not good when you start. You're terrible. And, you know, I wouldn't even put a pocket in anything in those days. It was like, pockets. And, you know, then when I saw Mick Jagger in 72, and I said, well, Mick has pockets. Maybe they are a good idea. So as I started making drag and costumes for myself and my friends, I got better and better. And then, of course, I did live in San Francisco right then. And so it was the epicenter for the West Coast gay scene. And so it was just natural to be involved in the early days of gay protest and gay visibility. And because I knew how to sew, you know, Harvey and my friends would call me up saying, we're going to have a march tomorrow and we need a banner. So I'd push the gowns one way and dig some fabric out of my rag pile and make, you know, gay rights now for a banner. So it really has always been my activism, my craft.
And you say banner. Were you thinking banner or flag at that time?
The flag came later. I did a lot of banners for even against the war in Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. And so I was very involved in the street politics of the 60s and 70s in particular. And those were a time of, you know, great civic
turbulence,
rebellion.
Yes.
People marched in the streets, women, gays, and everybody. And part of that experience and part of those events was making banners and signs and ultimately flags. Flags exist in their own realm. They're a little different. They're not banners and they're not signs. Flags are emblematic. They're symbols. And they're political symbols. They have a power that transcends their physical being. They're more than cloth.
So how did it go from the banner at that Freedom Day parade into the flag that we see now?
The flag did come after the mid-70s as I began to make more banners, you know, protest gay rights now or whatever for, you know, gay prides and protest marches. I began to think, well, wait a minute. A flag, the bicentennial of the United States was in 1976, and that's when I really took notice of the power of flags, seeing the American flag on everything, you know.
We had flag burning as an issue also
right,
with
exactly,
the Vietnam
the
War
famous
protests.
Case, right, also around the same time.
Right.
And I really began to look at flags differently. I hadn't really thought of them. And then Harvey had challenged me to come up with a new symbol. He said, we need something besides this pink triangle, and we need
which
a logo.
Which came from the Holocaust.
Absolutely. From the Hitler, in fact, precisely, who put that on us to, you know, identify us in the way that the Jews were identified and then persecuted. So the pink triangle had really functioned as the gay symbol for, the generation before me. But it came from such a negative place. And Harvey was like, well, we need a logo. It was the 70s. Everything was going graphic, a little, you know, gizmo that you put on AT&T and Coke. I was like, I don't know about a logo, but I was pretty sure about a flag because a flag is about proclaiming power. And I thought, yeah, we're a people. We're more than a nation. We're every nation. We're a tribe of people and we should have a flag. And so thus the rainbow.
How did you know Harvey? Just being part of the
scene? I knew him because I was involved in the early days of gay activism in San Francisco. I think I met him at one of the early gay community centers, and he was certainly an incredible person, incredible charisma and incredible talent for bringing other people into his circle and fostering a movement and with a fairly radical message.
Well, you were quoted as saying a true flag comes from the soul of the people.
Yes.
And you just referenced gay people as saying we are a people.
We are.
I mean, now it's LGBTQI.
Well, when we made the rainbow flag, and I say we because I had many people around helping, I made it specifically at the Gay Community Center because I wanted the flag to have a provenance, an origin that was made by the people, you know, for our people. We did it at the Gay Community Center as opposed to at my house. I wanted its birthplace. I knew a flag, if it was going to be a flag, needed to have, you know, elements to it that gave it depth and meaning. So when I say a flag is torn from the soul of the people, what I'm saying there is the way that you and I look at flags is different. When I look at a flag and you look at a flag, if it's my flag or your flag, if you own that flag, there's something in that message, something in that that you claim for yourself. It isn't an intellectual property. In fact, flags, true flags, are in the public domain. So I don't get royalties or any of that stuff, too bad. But a true flag is something that is an idea. And our idea with the rainbow flag was to create a symbol that really was positive and came from a magical place in nature that claimed that as a way for us to shine light on our sexuality, whether it was gay, straight, and that the point of the rainbow flag was about sexual liberation in its entirety and that, you know, there was a stripe for a color for everyone and that that whole power, if you will, of our cumulative human sexuality was something that we should celebrate.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Gilbert Baker, the designer of the rainbow flag, a symbol of the gay rights movement since the Freedom Day Parade here in San Francisco in 1978. You can find him at gilbertbaker.com. Your website, because they are part of the public domain, you've taken the state flags on your website.
Yeah.
And you have created a queer state flags,
utilizing their design. Gay North Dakota, gay Oklahoma, we got it.
That's just hilarious.
You know, I put that up. After I made the rainbow flag, right away, I wasn't even sure people were even going to get it was a flag. Because, you know, it was the 70s, it wasn't about flags. We were anti-flag. We were anti, you know, it went against
burning flags, right.
So I wasn't even really sure. So the first adaptation, if you will, was to put the jack of the American stars in it, the blue field with white stars. That's called the jack. So it was like the American pride flag, and that has had a life. And then I quickly put a lambda on it, and then I put the pink triangle on it, and then I went crazy. And over the years, I've done everything. And then, you know, it's a fun exercise to adapt things, you know, something that you made, and give it, you know, multiple meanings. And a lot of it is with great humor. You know, a lot of it is a joke. So
when you're redoing the Georgia state flag or the South
That's
Carolina...
Georgia in particular was a challenge because, of course, they had their own flag controversies there with the Confederate flag and all of the racism that represents. And they had a big battle over the state flag of Georgia in particular. And ultimately, they changed the flag. That's a very rare thing. But when I was making it, I actually made both versions for the Confederate rainbow flag, if you will, and the new Georgia flag. But I didn't want to shy away from that either. The point of it was a little bit of a joke. But when I made that, it was with the idea that some flags really did lend themselves to the rainbow, the California flag and others in particular.
And so on your website, people can download
it. Yeah, and more importantly, the reason I put that up there was so that people, they would click on them and they would go to the Secretary of State and they would be able to register to vote. So the whole gallery, Out to Vote, I even made an Out to Vote flag that you can download for free, everybody. So you could go to, say you lived in Montana, and click on your Rainbow Montana gay flag and register to vote or find out about voter registration, because that's really the real power. Flags are nice, but our power is in voting.
One of the things people have done is put that on their cars, which identifies gay people to other gay people. On the other hand, it has also caused some problems. One woman in Richmond, California, which is part of the Bay Area, had a bunch of gay things on her car and was pulled out of her car and raped by a few men. And it's kind of calling attention
well,
to,
it is.
Hey,
it's
I'm
a visibility
dyke.
Tool. I mean, that's what the flag is for. You put a rainbow flag on your house. You put a rainbow flag on your car or wear it on your T-shirt to school. A rainbow flag is a direct visibility action that people take all around the world. And when you put a flag on your car, your house, you're saying something. You're doing it. And so that makes you a target. Regrettably. And so, you know, I applaud the people that have the courage and the steel inside of them to say, okay, you know, maybe I live here in, you know, a really messed up town, you know, but I'm going to put that little rainbow thing on so that, you know, if there's one other person here, they'll know. That visibility comes with a price. I get stories from all around the world of people being, you know, victims of violence because they use the rainbow flag, or vandalism quite frequently. You know, so I hear those stories.
It concerns me because I think people think of it as gay pride. We talk about pride.
Sure.
They don't necessarily think I am doing something courageous and risky. And I think that there is some courage and risk. There's a lot of risk in it.
Well, it depends on where you are. Sure, it's no big deal to fly a rainbow flag in San Francisco or New York. You put a rainbow flag up in, you know, Oklahoma. That's a different world. You know, you put a rainbow flag up in Iran, they'll kill you.
So, and Iraq.
And Iraq. And many places.
Now, I know people wonder when they think about the rainbow flag, well, that's just the rainbow he copied. And didn't Jesse Jackson create that?
Later.
I mean, how do you... And that was in the set.
Actually, Jackson's...
Tell me about that. The
Rainbow Coalition. Sure, I love Jesse Jackson, and I love that Rainbow Coalition. And their ideals and their work, I think, is really good. And in the true gay tradition of serving people and liberation. So I have a great deal of admiration for Jesse Jackson. He was running for president in 1984. And I was, at the same time, designing Fabulosity for the Democratic National Convention in San Francisco. And I had occasion to meet him. I was so excited. And it was at this nightclub, Valencia Rose. And so Jesse Jackson was going to come. I was so excited. I thought, I'll make him a rainbow flag, because it was already 84, 6 years old. So I did. I made him a rainbow flag, thinking, hey, Rainbow Coalition, your people are people. We love each other. So... here he comes, big busloads of media and everything, Jesse Jackson, you know, presidential campaigns like a watch. And then he comes, and I'm meeting him, and I'm so excited and honored, and I handed him a rainbow flag saying, this is a rainbow flag, and, you know, it's my gift to you. And he looked at it, absolutely dumbstruck, like, what in the hell is this thing? You know, huh? Could not get away from me fast enough. Oh, thank you very much, handshake, you know, air kiss goodbye, Jesse Jackson. But his mother... like a couple of steps behind, said, oh, did you make that? I said, yes, I did. And then she opened it up, and she really looked at it. She said, oh, that's a really beautiful flag. And I explained that, you know, it was a gay flag. And then later, at the Democratic Convention, lo and behold, Jackson, of course, had a big floor demonstration, and there was a flag, sort of a rainbow flag. Their flag is based on the American flag. It has the stars in the blue field, and it has six white stripes, just like the American flag. But instead of the seven red stripes, there is a rainbow. Each stripe is a different color. So it's sort of a rainbow flag, but it isn't really a rainbow flag. I was absolutely flattered to my toes when I saw that.
You think his mother helped push that?
Absolutely. And I was flattered. And then later... 20 years, I get calls up from my friends in Italy. You know, I lived in Rome for a year, working on Rome World Pride 2000. And then a couple of years later, you will not believe how gay Milan is. Gilbert, there's rainbow flags everywhere. I said, what are you talking about? So lo and behold, the next thing I know, the whole anti-war movement in 2003 is awash in rainbow flags with the word pace or peace on them. And I'm getting calls up saying, you have to stop this. They're stealing our flag. And I'm like, wait a minute. We are the peace and love people. That the peace and love movement is using our flag as a symbol and a way to stop the war is nothing but great for us. How honored we should feel that, you know. And so, but I've watched over the years the rainbow, as we talk about the who owns it? Nobody. Do I own it? No. And the way that it's interpreted in usage, in culture, in the moment. I have an appreciation that most people don't, because I'm a vexillographer, V-E-X-I-L-L. It comes from the Latin vex. It means a symbol, the standard that Romans would carry before them. And flag makers are vexillographers. and in the way that photographers, we're vexillographers. And so I'm very studied in that. And the rainbow as a symbol, as a not per se as a flag, but as a symbol, really goes back almost to the dawn of man. It goes back to the Chinese. It goes back to the Egyptians. You find it all over Native American culture and island culture. So, yeah, sure, it goes way back. But we made the rainbow flag as gay as it could possibly be.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Gilbert Baker, the father of the rainbow flag. Yes, it debuted in 1978 at the San Francisco Freedom Day Parade. You can find him at gilbertbaker.com. You talk about peace and love,
yeah,
sort of in the same breath
I'm
as the rainbow
hippie.
Flag. I know you are a big hippie, but you also were in the service during the Vietnam era. You were in the Army from 1970 to 72. You were a nurse in San Francisco. You treated soldiers from the Vietnam War. Is that what changed you? What was the effect of that on your life?
Profound, actually. I grew up in Kansas. I'm a Midwest boy. I got drafted on my 19th birthday and ended up in the Army. Immediately singled out because I was so gay. I was screaming. You think I'm butch now. I was screaming then. And so I was singled out for a lot of abuse.
But they didn't turn you down. I mean,
those days, as long as you could breathe, they'd take you.
They drafted you.
You know, I remember later I got, finally they didn't know what to do with me. I was too gay. And finally they decided, we'll make him a medic, right? Because I didn't want to carry a gun, but I couldn't get out as a conscientious objector. So anyway, later on I ended up being a medic in San Francisco. And yeah, I mean, you know, in those days it was really different. It profoundly changed me in the sense that I really saw up close the human cost of war in the terms of the suffering and death and terrible things that were happening to people my age coming back, shot up. So it did sort of give me a big eye-opener. At the same time, I was in San Francisco, 1970, which was like, you know, peace capital of the universe. And so I was being exposed to all kinds of radical ideas, you know, coming out of Berkeley and the free speech movement, and began reading more and more, you know, going up to North Beach to hang out in the coffee shops and explore, you know, the wonderful, incredibly rich culture of San Francisco, and in its particular, its long tradition of tolerance and openness. And so I immediately felt at home there and began to feel more of my own power to, you know, do something, to speak up, that I didn't just have to let,
so those
I didn't have to accept it.
Those things you saw, the soldiers you treated,
yes,
the effects of war, the horrors of war, fueled your changes and fueled your anger against war, against the war?
Yeah. In particular, against the Vietnam War. But at the same time, I was really beginning to become more spiritual and to have a deeper idea about God and, you know, life and, you know, taking a lot of acid and, you know, reading a lot, doing a lot of spiritual work.
There's God in acid.
Absolutely. And that really opened me up to make the changes in my own life. To really accept who I was, finally, as gay, to come out, you know, even though I was in the Army, and to come out, and most specifically to my parents. That was certainly the biggest moment in my life as a gay person, was coming out to my parents. And I think that that's the story that we all share across every generation, across, you know, all the genders, everything. That thing we do where all of a sudden we know who we are. And once you know who you are and you stop lying about it, it changes you forever, forever. And when you come out, it really does change you. The liberation, and more important than liberation, the feeling of self-power is wondrous. You become a whole person. And for me, that happened, fortunately, fairly early in my life. And I was lucky.
You created a rainbow flag in 2003 that stretched from one end of Key West, Florida, to the other, which meant from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean.
Sea to sea.
What was that like for you?
It was fun. It was the 25th anniversary of the rainbow flag. I wanted to do something really splashy and huge and glamorous. And I had already made a mile-long flag in 1994 for New York for Stonewall's 25th anniversary. And that was a big... lot of work. Nothing like that had ever been attempted. A mile long flag and 10,000 people. I spent $1 million and, you know, had to raise all the money and I did everything. And I sewed the flag. These hands made it. And it was thrilling to do it. You can't imagine.
It's a phenomenal image.
Yeah, it's a feat. And what's so great about it is that you put all of this amazing amount of labor and love into something, and then it really only comes to life when the people have it in their hands, and, you know, when the 10,000 people or 5,000 in Key West are holding it and playing with it and loving it and being part of it. That's when it really has the moment of life. When Key West came around to me, they were like this little town. I knew they had a long history, rather like San Francisco, of being like a place of tolerance and hip gay. And I was like, I don't know, small town, you know. And then what sold it to me was their motto is one human family. And I love that. I love that. Key West. So when I heard that, I went, okay, I'm there. And then it was really hard, you know. People were like, oh, why are you doing it down there? You know, you should be making money in Los Angeles. And, you know, and really, you know, really putting the pressure on to, like, what are you thinking? But I was really proud of that effort, and I was really glad I did do it in the South, because I think that it really gave those people a great boost of energy, and they, you know, they loved it. And then, of course, I cut it up and sent it to 200 cities afterwards, so, you know, pieces of it all around the world, so...
How do you deal with those critics, the people that want to, it's so hard about that, or why don't you do this? Or, I mean, you're a high-profile guy. You're Gilbert Baker. You invented the rainbow flag.
I get by critics. I've been doing this a long time. I think it hurt earlier. Now I'm a little more steel to criticism. But actually, I find it challenging. A good critic is a good thing. And a friend of mine, Marie-Jo Ferrand, made this wonderful documentary, Key West, a big part of it, called Rainbow Pride. And she called me up. Actually, first she called up all my friends. She called up all my friends and interviewed them. Oh, yes. And then she called me. And by then I was like, who is this woman? So finally I'm sitting down with her. You know, she's this young dyke, you know, punk rocker from Montreal, you know, safety pins through the leather jacket, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then she starts asking the questions. Boom, boom, boom. This woman is smart. She's read her history. She knows her stuff. And I actually kind of warmed up to thinking, well, actually, I would like to work on a documentary with you, because you actually have not a kind of Kool-Aid idea about the rainbow. You have questions. And I think that that's really important as an artist, to hear those critics and questions, because it gives you, or at least in me, it gave me a deeper understanding.
Let's talk about the rainbow flag as you designed it. What are some of the significances of the colors and the way you chose those colors?
First of all, the idea of the rainbow. We chose the rainbow because it comes from nature. We come from nature. It's beautiful. It's magical, like us. It's also all of the colors. A rainbow is the spectrum. It's even the colors that we can't see. So there's the idea of things that we can't see, infrared, ultraviolet, and all the wonderful colors in between, the infinite colors, as we are, an infinite people, you know, every possible race, mm-hmm. gender, we're everywhere, mm-hmm. we're everyone. So that really fit us. And I think that that's what makes it work, is that it transcends language. It transcends explanation to be something that people just understand viscerally, and that they own it. They look at it and they own it.
Are there certain colors you chose that are the ones that are replicated in all the decals we see?
Yeah, I kind of went through two lives. I mean, when I first made it, there were 8 colors. Hot pink for sex, of course. Red for life. Orange for healing. Yellow for the sun. Green for nature, turquoise for magic, blue for serenity, and purple for the spirit. And I kind of hodgepodge that out of, you know, some color theory and some, you know, Kama Sutra stuff. You know, I was reading all this stuff, and I kind of sort of made my own little thing. 8 colors. There are 8 sexes. There are 8 sexes in genetics, the way that our human chromosomes bond. They're in every cell. There are 8 possibilities between the X's and the Y's. There are 8. So I like that. And a magic number in China. And it's an even number so that I could split the spectrum into hot and to cold colors. It would balance. There are hot colors and cold colors. So then, you know, it was a huge success. You know, the flag goes up. People got it immediately. I stood there on Market Street, June 25th, 1978, looking up at the rainbow flag, blowing like crazy, 30 by 60 feet. I made 2 of them. And I knew right then and that moment, like a bolt of lightning through my skull, that this changed my life forever, that my life would never be the same, that this was special, that this was going to be something. And so then, you know, I 5 minutes into it, people are like, make me one. Please make me one. So, of course, right away, I'm making flags going, gosh, this is really great. And a month later, I couldn't even keep up. So I had to get help. I thought, well, I'll go down to the flag factory. So I go down to the Paramount Flag Factory down on South of Market and walked in my pink LeMay skin-tight Fiorucci jeans, platform heels, and a little sort of chartreuse leopard tank top in my hair, I think, was turquoise. It was fabulous in those days. And I said, hi, I'm Gilbert, and I made the gay flag. I have a gay flag here. And they looked at me like, gay flag, huh? What about the American flag? Well, anyway, I persisted. And finally, I got them to agree to help me make rainbow flags. But very quickly on, we exhausted the supply of pink. Gone. Totally. Goodbye. The entire supply of pink nylon. I exhausted it. No flag has pink. And then I would call up other people and they'd say, no flag has pink. What are you talking about? Pink and a flag? What are you? Like, well, so then finally I got sat down by the powers that be at Paramount, Mr. Tudor, rest his soul, who's like 80, and really, you know, gave me carte blanche at the factory, which is an unbelievably fabulous gift to an artist to be able to work on an industrial scale. And I really learned my craft, you know, over the years I spent there. And he said, look, you got to figure this out. And so I did. I quickly adapted it to six colors that you see everywhere, the six. It's the idea of the rainbow. And then, you know, fast forward another 20 years of work, 25 years, all of a sudden we've got every color. We've got digital printing. We've got digital dyeing. Pink, no problem. You know, do a rainbow.
Are you
with
enjoying that?
I am. I do make the eight-colored flags, the one in Key West. And when you see an eight-colored flag, I'm pretty much the hands behind that flag. You don't see those commercially.
Mm-hmm.
But I make them.
And so why were you weren't able to make any money, like to get royalty? You can't make royalties off the rainbow.
No royalties.
But all the money that's been made on the decals and the flags themselves.
An entire industry, sure.
It's a huge industry.
Yeah, Tchotchke 101, yeah.
Tchotchke 101.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, it kind of was a little depressing, you know, to be able to, you know, see my work everywhere, you know. But then I'd be, you know, walking down Castro Street in the cold rain at Christmas time trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my rent and put food on my table and see rainbow dog collars. So there were times when it really did bite, when it was really, you know, what have I done? And as time went on, I began to realize even though I wasn't afforded royalties, it made me royalty, and it made me have a life I could never have dreamed of. It opened me to understanding my brothers and sisters from around the world in ways I'd never known. So it, even though it didn't come with the riches of money, it certainly came with an incredible spiritual enlightenment.
And you've made speeches all over the world, many events, the 93 March in Washington, the 88 March. You are a prominent figure in the gay rights movement and in gay rights history.
Yeah, whores and politicians, you live old. You get to be old enough, you get respectable, right? An artist.
But you're so not jaded. You sounded jaded there, but you're not really that jaded.
No, I'm not.
I know. You're kind of still a hippie. You're still a peace and love hippie.
I am. I have a lot of hope, and I think that's something that I hold on from Harvey is, it really, you have to give them hope. And for me, my way of doing it is, you know, making beautiful, wonderful things for people.
Gilbert Baker, you are a treasure.
Oh.
You are. You're a national treasure. You are. And you're a wonderful guest here on Out in the Bay. Thank you so much.
Sure.
For taking the time and being with us.
Absolutely, Marilyn. Thank you. And all my friends out in the Bay Area.
Right on.
Yeah.
And on the web at outinthebay.com. Thank you, Gilbert Baker. You can find him at gilbertbaker.com, people. Keep up with him. He's the creator of the now ubiquitous symbol of gay rights around the world, the rainbow flag. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, a weekly show about gay life in San Francisco and beyond. I'm Marilyn Pittman. You can hear our show at KALW.org and 91.7 FM Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then we archive our shows for on-demand listening and podcasts at outinthebay.com. Thanks to WY Enterprises for our website. They help you manage your life and your office. WYEnterprises.com. Write us with your comments or questions. My email is marilyn@outinthebay.com. Eric Jansen's is eric@outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW and to Paul Ruest at the Argo Network in New York City. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.